Each morning we recite the qualities of the five khandhas, rupa, vedana, sanya, sankhara, vijnana, material form, the body, vedana, sensation, feeling, sanya, perception, seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, sankhara, mental formations, thoughts, memories, emotions, imagination, intentions, and vijnana, discriminative consciousness. This is the Lord Buddha's way of conveniently dividing up the aspects of body and mind, the material and mental world, nama and rupa. It's a convenient way of exploring, examining the field of experience. These categories are not strict or definitive, they overlap, interpenetrate, but it's a good enough way of slicing the pie of our experience, the body, thoughts, feelings, sensations, memories, ideas, emotions. The act of distinguishing one thing from another, cognizing differences between things. Now, this gives us a framework to explore this experience of the human realm, the moment-by-moment flow of this, what we call our life, we call the world, we call reality. It's a means of giving a framework to these sets of experiences, this field of experience, to appreciate it as just that. Each of us doesn't experience the world, we experience this mind's representation of the world, built up out of our language, our thoughts, memories, the sensations of the body, feelings, ideas, conditioning of a lifetime, our whole species. So we use these reflections as a way of disentangling, loosening the habits of identification, of attaching to what is liked, resenting or fearing what is disliked, to know a field of experience as it flows and changes with as great a degree of clarity and non-identification, non-entanglement as is possible. As the retreat time proceeds, we have many hours in a day to practice formal meditation together, keeping silence, sitting still, doing the walking meditation. Well, this helps the whole system to settle down, for the body to relax, to be at ease, to be attuned to the present experience, the present reality. As the attention begins to settle and stays more easily with the present experience, the present reality, then we can more deliberately pick up this mode of investigation, reflection, what we call vipassana or insight meditation. If the mind is very busy, very agitated, very distracted, or very sleepy, dull, semi-conscious, then it's very difficult to establish any kind of clarity or objectivity with respect to the flow of experience. But for most people, after some days of focused, steady, formal practice, the system starts to settle down. The causes for distraction are diminished. The causes for wakefulness are increased. So, for most people, most of us, it becomes easier to sustain the attention here in the present, not drifting into agitation, proliferation, not drifting into sleepiness, dullness. As and when that quality of settledness, steadiness of attention is established, then there's not so much of a need to focus on a single object like the rhythm of the breathing. But if the attention is settled, grounded in the present, then we can consciously let the field of awareness be more open, more inclusive. Deliberately opening the heart, opening the attention to the flow of perception, feeling, thought, whether it's coming from inside or from outside. Noises we hear around us, the wind around the temple, rain on the windows, vehicles passing by, noises inside the temple, or noises inside our mind, thoughts, memories, ideas arising, taking shape, dissolving. So if we open the field of awareness to be more inclusive, this is cultivating a quality of acceptance, open-hearted acceptance, whether it's something that is liked or disliked or have no opinion about, here it is. It arises, takes shape, dissolves. An ugly memory, painful memory, a sweet memory, rises, takes shape, and dissolves. A worry about the future, an opinion about our own actions, our own words, arises, takes shape, dissolves. In this way, we're strengthening the quality of awakened awareness, being alert to the present experience, embodying this quality of awareness, the Buddha refuge, the refuge of awakened, aware knowing. Knowing thoughts and emotions, loving, hating, fearing, desiring, regretting, wanting, enthusiasm, joy, regret, irritation, conceptual thoughts, random memories, whatever it might be. Opening the heart to that whole field of experience, it's known as simply that much. It's just a thought, it's just a memory, just an emotion, just a random string of words or ideas. It arises, takes shape, dissolves. There's no thing fundamentally, absolutely there. As the heart rests in this quality of awake, aware knowing, the vijja dhatu, there's a peacefulness, a spaciousness, an ease. A quality of selflessness, non-identification. Being that awake, aware, knowing quality, embodying that, and the heart is open to the flow of experience, not chasing after what is likable, not running away from or fighting against what is not likable, not dwelling in approval or disapproval, like or dislike, comfort or discomfort. And to support that quality of openness, that unentangled participating in the flow of experience, then the classical reflections on anicca, dukkha, anatta, these are the most usable most practical tools that can be used to establish, to strengthen that quality of unentangled knowing. Something arises that we like. A sweet memory. Oh, there's a reflection of, is it changing? Did it begin? Then it puts it into a context. It's more easy to let go of. Something painful arises, something threatening, challenging, uncomfortable. Again, is it changing? Anicchangwa, nichangwa. Is it permanent? Is it impermanent? It's arisen, so therefore it's impermanent, changing. So, makes it easier to see it, to know it, in a true context. It's uncomfortable, but it is changing. That's not imagination, that's not fooling ourselves, it's not just wishful thinking. It is changing. Similarly, the reflections on dukkha, unsatisfactoriness, and anatta, not self. These are tools that we can apply moment by moment to the flow of mood, judgment, approval, disapproval, comfort, discomfort, feelings of success, feelings of failure, feelings of happiness, unhappiness, whatever it might be. Well, these reflections are not just a mantra that we repeat as a set of noises internally, anicca, dukkha, anatta, but they are tools like a screwdriver or a knife or a hammer. They need to be applied to do their job. You need to pick them up, put them in the right place, in the right way, work them in the way that they're intended to be worked. So there's an active investigation, an active inquiry. There's a sweet memory, some kind of delightful fantasy arises, something really exciting, pleasing, interesting. Oh, to consider, is this satisfactory or is this unsatisfactory? Could this experience create pleasure, fullness, contentment, fulfillment forever? Is this total and absolute permanent happiness? Is it? Could it be this way? If that fantasized event actually happened, how would it be if it lasted an hour, 2 hours, 10 hours, a year, 10 years, 100 years? Would it still be satisfactory? Would it still be pleasing? Well, this kind of active investigation is a way that we are engaging the wisdom of the heart, the natural satipanya, mindfulness and wisdom, intuitive wisdom of the heart. Something in us knows. A sweet moment, a mouthful of delicious food, it's dependent. If we had that delicious taste in our mouth for an hour, a day, a week, we know it would still be delicious. That deliciousness is dependent on being hungry, on the taste being transient, impermanent. It can't be pleasing, fulfilling in and of itself. Can't be. And the heart knows that. So these reflections on anicca, dukkha, anatta, they're tools to be actively engaged, forms of inquiry, to challenge the habits of attitude. The feelings of, I, the owner of this body, this is my life, my mind, my practice, my problems, my achievements. This is me, this is what I am. Oh, to reflect upon anatta, to use that as a tool is to question. If this is my body, what's the thing here that's doing the owning? What does that look like? Where is it? This which owns the body, or seems to, is it female or male? Does it have a gender? This which knows my name, does it have a name? What is it? Where is it? Is it? Now, the point of these kinds of investigations, this inquiry, is not to come up with some neat conceptual answer, but to burst the bubbles of self-creation, to burst the bubbles of habit, the self-creating, permanence-creating, satisfaction-creating delusions. Exploring, recognizing, challenging. And when those assumptions, those delusions, those identities are challenged, we're not trying to replace them with another concept, another identity, a real me or a permanent thing, but rather it's a process of learning to let go of what we're not. No longer seeking satisfaction in that which can't satisfy. No longer seeking certainty in that which is uncertain. No longer seeking an identity in that which is not whom what we are. So this is one of the great skills or challenges of insight practice. It's when there's a letting go, when there's a seeing through the illusions of permanence, satisfaction, identity, they're not just replaced with a facsimile, another kind of attachment, another kind of entanglement, but rather the challenge is to leave that space open. When the illusion has been seen through, it falls away, this a moment of spaciousness, peacefulness, simplicity, selflessness. Leave it at that. There's no need to fill that space up with another identity, another idea, another name or a thing. Leave that space open for that spaciousness. In that spaciousness, there's the realization of Dhamma itself, that which is unformed, unconditioned, uncreated. Leaving that space open, the unconditioned nature of the heart can awaken, can know its own nature. Unborn, unoriginated, uncreated, unformed, deathless. Here it is, always here, ever present, and only obscured because of the habits of identification and attachment.